Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
What did I catch there, so to speak? You know, what impacted me the most? And one of the things that impacted me the most was I've been to one of the calls before. Lou Engle has them every couple of years. And in 2007, a lot of our church went there, and down in Nashville. And it was pretty amazing then. This was very much like that. But what I didn't see or remember seeing the first time was this time we had it was between 65 and 70,000 people there. 120,000 registered, but I guess they couldn't brave the weather. But that day, they start out with a lot of repentance, especially between ethnic groups, like the Native American Indians and the African Americans and the Jewish people and the Koreans, and they went over several of that kind of cleansing and asking forgiveness. But one of the things that impacted me the most was, I mean, that was awesome and needs to happen, but there was a conservative pastor that got up, and this was after they had honored, spoke of many past, revivals that had gone ahead of us, and pastors that had started, men that had started those revivals, like Billy Graham was one of them they talked about a lot, and others like him. But then a conservative pastor got up, and the call is largely charismatic, Pentecostal, draws that crowd. And this conservative pastor got up, and he said, when he first heard of this, his congregation came to him and said, is this something that we can be a part of? Because this sounds really cool. And after considering it and praying about it and researching it a little bit, he went back to them and said, no, this is for that persuasion of the body, and I don't think that we should, we can really be free in joining in on that, but we'll bless it, but it's not really for us. Within a week, God seriously convicted him, and he got up in front of his congregation and apologized, and he said, and then he came and apologized to every 70,000 people. And he said, I realized that God cannot bring revival in the body of Christ unless the body comes into unity. And we lay down our differences and our hearts become unified for the one thing. And that, really impacted me. He's absolutely right. God's not going to be able to bring a real revival that will sustain itself until the whole body lays down its differences. Not that we can't have our differences. There's nothing wrong in that. What's wrong is that we segregate ourselves and that we're afraid to fellowship. I know, because I used to be one of those. We would not have caught us in this setting not too many years ago. So now I am one. And what do I do with that? You know, what do I do? How can I bring my friends who, how can we have unity and agreement without feeling like we have to argue about things that really are insignificant in the light of eternity? They're important to us because, you know, we believe a little bit different things, but we all get Jesus. We all got Jesus. And so that's the thing that needs to, he is our unifier, and we need to pull together to do that. So revival is to give a fresh life to. It's to stir life into something that has been dormant, right? It's to stir it up, to cause a fresh newness to set in. We want to do that, but you know, what are we doing in order to get that started? Revival has to happen here in each one of us. We have to become revival. Revival's not going to happen for us. Every person here must be revival. Complacency is one of the strongest tools that the enemy has us locked into. We're fat, full, I don't mean physically, we're satisfied. We're lazy in the spirit because we don't have anything coming against us to cause us to stand up and fight for what we believe. When we don't have anything coming against us, then we get kind of lackadaisical. We get lazy, we get fat, we get in a stupor, you know. So we get Jesus, but then we kind of float. And we're happy there because there's nothing challenging about that. We can just stay there and everything's hunky-dory. I'm probably using some words if this is the way I talk when I'm... but honestly, that's what we do. Everybody gets kind of, not everybody. Some of y'all are on fire, and it's awesome. But some of the rest of us, you know, we need to get that fire started because revival isn't going to, God's not going to force you into revival. If we want revival as a body, it's got to start here. We've got to get our own fires going. We've got to get burning for the Lord. We've got to get passionate. And we're so like into moving right along, just moving right along, not getting too challenging. I'll tell you, when my husband and I stepped into this the charismatic movement, it was hard. It was hard. But for the first time in my life, and not that I couldn't have found that where in the setting I was in, I could have. I just didn't know how. And for the first time, we were being challenged because I wasn't challenged there. You get what I mean? I wasn't, not that they didn't teach the word and all had it, they were amazing. But I was comfortable there. And when we got out of our comfort zone and started coming in a setting where we began to be challenged by what we believed, then I caught the wind. And that fire started in me. And I had to get hungry in order to find that the revival happened and changed the whole dynamic of mine and my husband, my whole family's life. So that's what God's after in us. Revival is a spiritual awakening. It's a movement of our heart position from sitting. So we all sit, got to get off this, our tushy, or what is it, tushes. Got to get off of that and walk, start walking. And then from walking, you need to go to running. And from running, we need to go to flying. We're all meant to be eagles. Not meant to be ducks or something that sits, you know, and waddles and quacks. And they're really cute, but they don't ever get off the ground very far. You're meant to be an eagle. Eagles fly, and they fly with purpose and intentionality. They're powerful. That's who you're meant to, you guys. You're not going to forget this one. But you're meant to be eagles. You're meant to be eagles. We got to get off the couch. You know, the Lord is not going to take your remote and push the off button. He's not going to do that. He's not going to take whatever, you know, if it's whatever's hindering you from getting up and walking. Or if you're walking already from running, or if you're already running from flying. Whatever that next step needs to happen, the Lord's not going to do it for you. He's going to do it with you. We've got to take the initiative. And when we take the initiative, he's right there with his strength behind you. and saying yes to it. And he'll give you the strength where you lack. He'll empower you to do that which you cannot do. He'll put a fire in you when you lack it. All you have to do is ask for it. I ask the Lord, make me a desperate woman. I want to be desperate. I'll pay the price. I don't care what it costs me, and I mean it. Now, that's kind of scary the first time you say that. But God's good. He's after your heart, and he wants you to have that fire in him. He wants you because he knows that you're going to fly soon. You're going to fly. Seems like every path that we take, doesn't matter what decision, every time we try to move forward in life, there's a fork in the road. And so you make a decision on which little place you have to step forward to move forward, and then there's another fork. If you stop and think about it, everything you're looking at has a fork in the road. You've got a million decisions that you can make in order to before you can move forward. And then when you move forward, there's another two or three ways you could go. So sometimes we get afraid to move forward because it's kind of confusing. The enemy would like to keep you confused. He'd like to keep you doubting. He'd like to keep you fearful of going too far or not going here, or I should have done that, or I should have done this. God, you need to let those should-haves go. I just celebrated my 64th birthday. I have a lot of should-haves. Lots of should-haves. Coulda, would-haves. You know, that I am so leaving those behind. Because if I stay there, it's going to cause me to stay stuck in my past. And I'm not going to move forward into what God's called me to do. Even at my age, I can look at my age and think, oh, God. And I have said this to him, oh, God, seriously, do you know how old I am? You know, isn't that silly? Do you know how old I am? And now you're calling me out? Now? Like, who's going to want to listen to an old lady? Yeah. Oh, you guys are so awesome. But in my head, I could let that stop me. That could be a fork in the road, right? And so I could go back to sitting on the couch because that's where I used to be. And that felt real comfortable, and I wasn't challenged there. I knew my place. On this path that I'm at now, I'm still trying to find my place. And it can get a little challenging. Actually, it's a lot challenging, if you want to know. And so is yours. Your paths are challenging to you. But we don't need to walk them out in fear. We need to walk them out in confidence and not be afraid to make a decision. Because God's going to help you. He's going to direct your decision. The more desperate you are for him, that revival, excuse me, is fostered out of a place of passionate love and surrender to God. That fire is the fire of love. That when we get the fear of God going, that reverential trust, hating what God hates, when we fall in love with him, that love will cause you to fall into righteousness because you want to, not because you're being forced to or you think you have to. It's because you want to. You're going to want to walk righteously because he's righteous. And the more you love him, the more you're actually drawn into his presence and you look like him. You want to honor that. You don't want to lose that because that's a good place. That feels safe. And you are there. That feels safe. That is comfortable. The couch no longer feels comfortable to me. I can't go back to sitting. I'm going to fly. You guys are meant to fly, every one of you. There's not one person in here that's not meant to fly. But you got to get off and start walking first. No shame in walking. Just don't stay walking. Then there's no shame in running. But you don't want to stay there. That's good. But flying, there's a freedom in that and a power that comes with it and a peace. Because you know you're where you're meant to be. And that's when you walk into your destiny. In Colossians 3, can we get that up? Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above where Christ is. So that's partly how we get off the couch, is we seek the things above where God is. We set our minds on things above. Purpose in your heart to be consciously aware of God's continual presence in you, because you're his temple. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're his, the very temple, the very holy of holies of God. He cannot not be in you. But we can close that little temple area off and not want to feel him or not be aware of him. Because not the knowledge of his presence demands an acknowledgement of it. And when you acknowledge it, it's hard to be fleshy. We need to let go of the flesh. There's no benefit to flesh. There's no, it does you no eternal good. A new life. You've been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead. Keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, habitually. We need to change our default. Too often we get caught up in fantasy. We get caught up in worrying, trying to figure things out, trying to plan our futures to the minute detail. We're so focused on what's next or what could be that we forget to be habitually concerned about the things above. When you lay this life down and trust him for it, your path will automatically unfold for you. I'm not saying it's easy. My path has been difficult. But in it, I've learned to fly. So your path, the what you're doing, when you lay the worries down, lay the fears down, when you press in for focusing on the constant awareness of God in your life, you become more conscious of what you're doing. It's harder to sin. It's harder to say a bad word or do something you shouldn't do or look at pornography or whatever it is that you're caught up in. When you're consciously and constantly aware of God's presence in you, it's more difficult to do those things. That's why we shut him down, is because our flesh wants to take over and we want to do what we want to do. That's going to keep you on the couch. So we got to let that awareness happen. Invite it. Because that's not something you can do on your own, honestly. It takes Holy Spirit in you to help you to be, he wants to partner with your mind, help you to be consciously and constantly aware of God in you. It's a good place. Set your mind and keep it focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are in the earth, which have only temporal value. Everything on this earth, some of it is good, some of it is bad, some of it really feeds the flesh, but it's all temporal. We are living as Christians for an eternal value, an eternal life, a kingdom life. You are kingdom people. You are not bound to this earth. When your spirit leaves your body, it will go on in eternity with Christ Jesus. That's what we're living for. We're not living for momentary delights or momentary satisfaction of the flesh. That's a little flash in the fry pan, and it needs burned up. So when we habitually set our mind habitually on the presence of God, that will be easier to do. You're not going to. The fear of the Lord is when you take that on, it as actually hating what God hates, and God hates sin. The reason God hates sin is because everything that is sinful is an exact perversion of everything that is glorious. God is glorious, and sin mocks God. It's a perversion of everything glorious. And we want to be, we're meant to be glorious. You're meant to carry the glory. You carry the glory of God in you. You're made in his image. And now you got Holy Spirit. You belong, you're the bride of Christ. I mean, how much better can it get? You have to know who you are. For you have died to this world, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. So die. Just die. Die already. I just tell the Lord, can I just die now? Just take that flesh. Circumcise it. Ah, drives me crazy. But I purpose to die daily. I purpose to die daily. I'm not also not perfect, but I'm dying a lot better than I did 5 years ago. It works. It's working for me. So press into it. Press into the giving up of the flesh and becoming holy and righteous intentionally. It's an intentional pursuit. And every one of you have the ability to do that because the strength behind it is already in you. Holy Spirit will empower you to do it. Your flesh can't do it. You're not holy on your own. It's only by the grace of God that we can do that. Life has a way of causing us to get caught in the sidelines rather than staying in the game. To be sitting down is soulish and getting caught up in the things of the flesh. We don't want to, the flesh, the world has a way of overcoming us, of causing us to be overwhelmed with its problems and trials and struggles and tribulations. Some of them can get very ugly and seems like there is no end to them or no hope. There's always hope in God. There's always hope. Jesus is our hope. Hope originates with God. And you have God in you, so there's always hope there. He's always working for your good. He's on your side. When we get angry at God, honestly, anger, I've seen it in the spirit. I've had other people that I work with take through sessions, and they see it in the spirit, and there's this big wall. It will shut down your hearing, and you're the one that put the wall there, and you're the one that shut down your hearing. If you're angry at the Lord, it puts a wall between you and him, and he won't go past that wall until you get rid of your anger. Anger. That doesn't mean he's not still working for you and trying to shift you, and he's doing all he can, but he won't go against your free will. He honors your free will. So our free will has to choose to submit. We choose to love. We choose to be humble. We choose to be laid down lovers. Everything that you choose in life is by your own free will. So be careful what you choose. Choose kingdom things. In Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us. It does. Sin easily and cleverly entangles us. If we're not on our guard, if we're not intentionally dying to sin, it will overtake you. The Bible says that God's provided us a way out. When temptation comes at us, there is a way out. The way out is no. It's just that two-letter word, no. You say no to it. And if you need God's help, say, Holy Spirit, help me say no. And he will. If you want to, he will. Be intentional. Let us run with endurance and active persistence. These scriptures are very clear how to do it. We run with endurance and active participation. It's active persistence. We cannot be lazy-minded or dull-minded when it comes to living out this life, this Christian walk. I don't want to be someone who gets into heaven with just my tushy just inside the gate. I mean, that's nice. I got in like Flynn, right? But I want to be one that sits at the foot of Jesus. So you run this race as if to sit there. Let that be your goal. Look at him. I look at him daily. You have imaginations. God will sanctify your imagination to see into the kingdom. Let him do it. Ask him to do it. Start looking. Say, Jesus, I want to see. I want to see you. I do that a lot. It keeps me focused on him. There's a place, I don't know why I'm sharing this. I go to the garden a lot with the Lord. Sometimes he shows up like a lamb. Sometimes he's my shepherd. Sometimes he's my friend Jesus. Sometimes he's a lion. I never know what he's going to appear to me. But I always get satisfied. He always speaks to my need. And sometimes I just sit with him and we have a picnic. Spend time with him like that. He loves it. He's a good cook. Let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. The first incentive of our belief and the one who brings our faith to maturity is Jesus. But he needs your yes. He can't mature you when you're on the couch kicking and screaming. Who, for the joy of accomplishing the goal, do you know that the cross was a goal for Jesus? It was actually a goal. He set his sight on the goal and he went for it. That was the hardest goal that ever anyone in all of eternity ever attempted. And he set his gaze so strongly on the goal and then Father behind it that there was nothing that could stop him. And he flew all the way there. He endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. Just consider and meditate on him who endured from sinners such bitter hostility against himself. Consider it all in comparison with your trials so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Compared to Jesus' trials, ours are nothing. And he's not insensitive to them. Do you know that every time you have something that comes at you, Jesus is standing in front of you and it goes through him first. He takes the hit with you. You're not alone. Enemy wants you to think you're alone. Such a lie. Such a lie. Never alone, no matter what the trial is or how bad it is. Even your own frustrations at getting off the couch or running and not walking, getting out of walking. The enemy is going to try and trip you. He's going to try and stop you. He's going to do everything he can to keep you on that couch. You see, you're already a Christian when you're on the couch. But he's safe there when you're there. The enemy is safe when you're on the couch. You're not a threat to him. When we're off the couch, we become a threat. And he will try to derail you. But the one who Jesus, you know, that's not a problem for him. And he'll use every trial that we have to cause us to grow and be stronger. And so the next trial isn't going to be so, it's not going to be so strong. It's not going to be so devastating. It's not going to be so, we're not going to look at it with such, oh my word, I don't think I can do this. And we're going to come to that place where we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. And we're not going to waver from that. We're going to stand in it. And that's when you're flying. That's when you're flying. When you run and do not fall. You run and don't doubt. Your faith is in motion. Faith is a motion word. It demands an action. So your faith is in motion. And you're going forward with your life without fear. Knowing that he's gonna work it out for you. Not that it's going to be easy. He says it won't. His wasn't either, if you remember. But look what it did for all of us. And every one of you will impact, be a life that will impact others when you're flying. We need to stir up our spirits to hunger and thirst after loving God and his people. Each one of us has the potential to be revival. We are made for it, and the enemy wants to rob us of our God-appointed destinies. If he can succeed at keeping us in the sitting positions and on the sidelines and out of the game, then he has succeeded in weakening the advancement of the kingdom on earth, and that's what he fears most. So let him fear. We want him to be in fear. It's his turn. So we need to get off the couches and start walking. And if you're walking, you need to run. And if you're running, you need to jump into flight without fear. Part of the thing that happens with revival is that with it comes the preaching of the word. With the preaching of the word and worship, healing and signs and wonders follow. That's in the word. And so we're going to step into some healing right here. And Michael, if you could come up and just do some keys for us. We're going to step into some healing. Jesus. Chris, could you bring me some water, please? One of the things one of the things I heard as I was speaking to you is discouragement. I feel like there's a lot of you that are facing discouragement, the other word I'm hearing is hopelessness. Just like it's hopeless. You've tried walking or you've tried running and you keep falling. That feels hopeless because you're having trouble getting back up again. Or you're feeling like you're not good enough. You're having trouble getting that forward motion going because you get kind of stuck in the feeling of hopeless or discouragement. If that's you, I'd like you just to come forward as Michael's playing. We're gonna speak to that. God has freedom for that tonight. You don't need to stay there. You don't need to stay there. Jesus. Awesome. I'd like the healing team to come up. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah, just start. Go ahead and start ministry. While they're ministering, step down there. While they're ministering, I want to address some physical things that I'm sensing. One of them is migraines. Anybody here suffer with migraines? Or right back there, migraines and sinus headaches, sinus issues. Anybody have that? Yeah. So yeah, come over here. Good. Thank you, Lord. When you're praying with somebody for healing, I actually want to invite some of you to come up here and pray with me. Anybody that wants to pray for healing, you guys get up here. Just want to release the body to do the body, right? When we pray for healing, we need to take authority over whatever they're struggling with and command it to go. We don't ask it to go. We're not nice to disease. That's not of the Lord. So you break it off their body, but you bless their body. I also, when it comes to something habitual like sinus and migraines, I break the habit of that off their body. Because the body will get into a habit of acting, a pattern. So I'll break the habit off, the memory of it, off of the body so that the body will stop doing that default, right? We want to change the default. So you guys go ahead and start praying for them. I'm just going to pray out loud here so you can hear what that sounds like. Father, I lift Eric up to you, God, and I thank you. I just bless him. I bless him. I just release tension right now. Tension and stress, the habit of it, off of your body right now in Jesus' name. I just release it. I command every assignment of migraines to go now in Jesus' name. I bless your body with the peace of Christ. I bless it. I break the habit of migraines off of your body right now in Jesus' name. And I release the truth, the peace of Christ. Peace. God, I ask you, fill him with your peace. I command your body to forget it, and let it go, to release it, to form a new default of peace. Of peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody, anybody back here have an injury that you hurt yourself? I keep wanting to do this, like in the knee. Come on up here. Knee injuries over here. Suddenly hearing myself. Okay. So some of you come and help me pray for them. Anybody that would want to come and pray? Penny, you want to come and help pray? No? Yeah? Stephanie? Good. Okay. So the same thing is true with accidents. We want to break that off, the memory of it off the body, but we just want to release the body to peace and speak into whatever is holding them back. Yeah, go ahead. I'm working. Is there anybody that has a skin disease, like eczema, seborrhea, psoriasis, any skin disease? Okay, we'll get her in a minute. Jesus. Father, I lift Amy up to you. Now I just break the beginnings of this arthritis and the skin issues that it's causing. And I break its power off of you right now in Jesus' name. I release your body from that declaration that's been spoken over it and the acting out that your body is doing. I just break it off of you right now in Jesus' name. I release your body to be happy and healthy and whole in Jesus' name. I release the peace of Christ in you. God, I thank you for peace. I thank you for healing. Jesus, you're amazing, and we love you. We love you. Thank you, Lord. I bless you. I bless your body. I command your skin to be healthy and whole and strong, to let it go and forget about it. And remember, healthy skin, peace, in Jesus' name. Does anybody have back issues, back pain? Anybody else have back pain? Don't be shy. You can't get healed if you don't get prayed for. That's awesome. Back pain. Okay, come on. Crystal. Back pain. This is all back pain. All back pain. Anybody else for back pain? Back pain. Oh, yeah. We got a whole group here. Back pain? Oh, your mom. Okay. So anybody that wants to help pray for these people, come on up. This is audience participation night. Why not? You guys, y'all know how to pray. So you have back pain too. Yes. Right. I'm going to lay this down. awesome? We're getting some healings. Isn't that great? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that's what happens with revival. You know, it's part of Jesus came, and every person that he came before him and asked him for healing, he healed. He doesn't turn us down. And if you don't get healing, don't give up, because God is good. It's not, don't take that personally. I'm still struggling with stuff, and some of it's pretty serious, but I'm not giving up. I'm pressing forward for the more. I want you to be encouraged. I just heard the word depression. Anybody suffer with depression? Nobody has depression? That's awesome. Somebody's not telling, I have a feeling. How are you all feeling? Does anybody have something that they want prayed for that I haven't called out? If you do, I want you to come forward. If you want ministered to in any way, whether it's emotional, physical, or spiritual, just come on forward. Thank you. I want to bless all of you. I want to bless your walk with the Lord as you move forward. And you if you're on the couch, you get up and you start walking. I want to bless your forward motion. If you're walking, I'm excited to see you run. And if you're running, I want to see you fly. You can do it. And I just want to bless your walk with the Lord, your destiny. I just want to bless each one of you, because each one of you are called by God into a destiny that only you can fulfill. And so I want to bless that destiny. And I want you to reach for it. I want you to reach for it. Don't be afraid to reach for it. Fear of failure is a huge thing. Honestly, I have struggled to reach for my destiny. And a lot of it has been because of the age thing, honestly. And that I'm a woman. But I'm getting over it. And I'm flying, and I'm reaching for that destiny with a boldness that I've never felt before. And I just want to impart that to you. Get a boldness about you, a fire. Get it started and say yes to it. So I bless you. I love you all. And I just hope you have a great week. In Jesus' name.